Now, back to the Dave Baum Show on TalkZone.com.
Internet radio at its best and getting bigger week by week by week. And thank you to those in 63 countries and more than 2,000 cities who are now on the TalkZone.com bandwagon. We appreciate it. We appreciate your emails and those things you like and those things you think can be improved. As we continue our conversation about, frankly, looking fit internally and externally, feeling fit, because diets are usually, as Dr. Rolls pointed out, they have some negative connotation. I don't have a problem with it, but a lot of you do. So we'll use weight control. We might use lifestyle. I may slip and occasionally say diet. I apologize in advance for not using some of the euphemisms about weight control. But Dr. Rolls, before the break, we talked about the approach and what some of these statistics that you had checked out proved in terms of men being a little bit more successful. Criteria yet we haven't discussed, but what's the difference in the approach between a man and a woman to weight control or dieting or lifestyle?
Yeah, you know, it's really tough to pin that down. There are not a lot of studies directly comparing what men and women do. I mean, frankly, until the last few years, we haven't really even known what successful losers in general do to keep weight off. I mean, we know it's pretty easy for a lot of people to lose weight. The big challenge is how do you keep it off once it's gone? So one of the ways we've been finding out about this is from something that's called the National Weight Control Registry.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Hill at the University of Colorado, Dr. Rena Wing at Brown, have collected information from thousands of people now who have successfully maintained, I think it's a 30-pound weight loss over at least a year. And so I can tell you what people who are successful in general do. Trying to pin down what men and women do is really tough.
I mean, I find it fascinating that after all these years that there's really nothing tangible. Reason for that is a number of years ago, my wife and I decided to go to one of these very, very well-known diet plans where you go somewhere once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to a church in the community. To make a long story short, what I found was that there were many, many more women. The ratio was incredible.
Yeah.
Who wanted to talk and share their pain and success or frustration. The couple of guys, excluding me, who were there, had formerly been part of this program, but were there, at least from my perception, looking for women to date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we know that, I mean, what you say is true, that for formal weight loss programs, a lot more women than men go. A lot of the big weight management programs now are targeting men, trying to get them in. We know about those formal kinds of programs that your success is determined by how often you keep going. And, you know, that makes sense. There are some published studies on that.
And it's also, the cheering on factor is also a plus. And I found, again, in my limited view of this, I found that women who are trying to lose weight really like what I call the cheerleading factor.
Mm-hmm.
They really like other women saying, great, 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 and you get this kind of prize or that. I'm not sure that guys are into that.
Right, and you get the daily weighing, the scrutiny, the accountability if you go to a program like that too, which women often seem to need. I mean, the problem is, in terms of getting research data out of those kinds of programs, is just what you say. You don't have a whole lot of men, so doing the male-female comparisons is kind of tricky if you've only got a handful of men and lots of women.
That's kind of fascinating because there are a number of these national programs around, but what you're saying is that in the main, that the ratio is definitely way, way more women
mm-hmm.
than men. Why aren't men interested in those programs? Because they spend billions advertising to people mm-hmm. who want to lose. Why?
Well, I guess because traditionally they've thought of them as kind of girly places to go. Just what you said. And they haven't really been targeted, but now the programs are reaching out to men. I think when men do go, they get a lot out of it. So hopefully they will decide to do that more. I mean, we've heard, I mean, only a third of men are trying to lose weight compared to half of women. So right away you've got fewer men. Now, the thing that's interesting about that is when men are overweight, they much more often than women have the belly fat rather than the hip fat.
Right.
The fat around the middle metabolically is much more dangerous than the fat around the hip.
Is that a genetic thing? Because that's certainly not something of the 80s, 90s, and into the 21st century. It always appeared to be. Guys got thick around the middle, and women's thighs and rear ends.
It's a very fundamental characteristic, and it's somewhat determined by sex hormones such as testosterone. But you really don't want to be heavy around the middle. It's very dangerous in terms of cardiovascular disease, developing diabetes, etc. So guys should be managing their weight as are women. I mean, we only have a third compared to half, so we need to get the men motivated. Now, it seems like once they make up their minds to do it, they are slightly more successful than women. But in terms of the strategies that they're using, I would like to say that I've read in some studies that they tend to use more physical activity and fewer dietary strategies, but I have another study in front of me that says that isn't necessarily the case. So clearly we need some more probing research to try to figure out what these strategies are. But in terms of what works in general from this weight control registry, we know that it boils down to diet and exercise, that increasing your physical activity and being very vigilant about the calories that you're consuming is a predictor of successful weight loss maintenance. People that are successful tend to eat more fruits and vegetables. They cut down on eating out at fast food restaurants. They tend to eat breakfast. They tend to be consistent. They don't go on a diet and off of it, so they don't take weekends off. They tend to weigh themselves daily.
Whoa.
So they're very...
Weigh themselves daily?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Nice. And there are a number of studies that have come out in the last couple of years showing that daily weighing is associated with successful weight maintenance. It's a matter of just keeping track, reminding yourself. The other thing that successful losers do is they keep track of what they're eating. It doesn't have to be really detailed, but they keep notes about what they're eating and how much activity they're getting each day.
Well, then on the basis of what you've just said, Dr. Rose, let me make some generalizations and please comment on it.
Mm-hmm.
The poor then would tend to be fatter than the rich.
Well, we know that's true.
Junk food is cheaper,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the incentive to eat less healthy food among poor people.
Mm-hmm.
So could you draw the correlation that there will be a lot more overweight people in the poorer communities than there will be in the middle, upper middle, and wealthy communities?
Absolutely. My colleague Adam Janowski at the University of Washington in cities such as New York and Seattle has looked at obesity rates by zip code, and you can absolutely predict the incidence of obesity by where people are living, and then that correlates with numbers of fast food restaurants and other indicators that people are eating a poor quality diet.
Well, then if you can make those correlations, and obviously they have, then can you say that obesity would correlate with poor people in the developed world with the wealthy in the third world, i.e. that if you're in the third world and you've succeeded, you're wealthy, you might be overweight because food is seen as a source of prestige?
Yeah, I mean, that's been the case until relatively recently, even in some European countries such as Germany, until 20 or so years ago. Heavier weight status was associated with affluence, but mm-hmm. Of course now there is getting to be a shift even in those countries. But in some really poor countries, obviously heavier weight would be associated with affluence. But in our society, heavier weight is associated with lower socioeconomic status. And until recently, people haven't wanted to talk about that. But, you know, there's a lot of research now that's being published that indicates that that's the case.
Dr. Barbara Rolls is our guest on the Dave Baum Show on TalkZone.com. Welcome in at 1-888-463-6748. Let's get to the phones. Howard, you're on the Baum Show with Dr. Rolls. Hello.
Hey, good morning. Question, this is the time of year when, and I will certainly include myself in this, but people are receiving all sorts of food for the holidays at their offices, and they're going out for holiday lunches and dinners and that sort of thing. How do you basically say no to this?
Well, I don't want you to say no to everything, because certainly you want to treat yourself a little bit at this time of year. I was just chuckling because in my office, I mean, we study eating behavior and obesity. We've got piles of cookies and candy that everybody was making last night and brought in.
You take them all to Joe Paterno's house?
Yeah. I think the thing about the holidays is you need to make sure that when you're choosing what you're going to eat, it's special so that you feel like you're getting treats. If something is homemade, pick it over a bag of chips or whatever that you might normally eat. But clearly, if you're being overwhelmed, if you're partying every night and whatnot, you have to have a strategy. And I would say fill your plate with your low-energy dense, low-calorie-dense veggies, and take small tastes of the foods at the buffet. Use them more as condiments, and then if there's something you really love that's really special, go back for seconds of that. You know, watch the alcohol, because that makes you lose your resolve about anything you're going to do.
Howard, I got plan B here. Dr. Rolls is plan A. I got plan B for you.
Oh, good.
What's that?
Plan B is that if you're in an office, you know, let's say that cookies are out there and they really look good, what you do is you eat one and put three in your pocket. And then you take those home. Huh?
You're still going to end up eating.
Yeah, but see, you look at that as being like a snack for later. It's all in the mind, Howard. It's all in the mind.
All right, I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, and happy holidays to you.
Same to you. Thanks.
Metabolism. Now, where does metabolism fit in on this scale of weight control or dieting or losing weight or lifestyle? The reason I say that is you and I have both known people over the years who can consume twice as much as we do at a sitting, and we call that the wooden leg syndrome. How do they do it? A lot of people say, well, you know, look at that guy. He had five drinks. I had one, and I'm sloshed. He had five, and he's still standing. How big of a factor is metabolism in weight control?
Well, obviously, all of us differ in how we're burning calories, and some people are unlucky, and they have a slow metabolism. There are those individuals, we call them naturally lean, who have this ability to eat whatever. They have almost never been studied in this field. The thing about what I do, the study of eating behavior and how that relates to weight management, there are not very many of us doing it. So there are an awful lot of interesting questions that need to be answered. The question of how naturally lean people do what they do is absolutely fascinating. I mean, some of it's probably metabolic, but somehow...
Aren't you astounded, though? I mean, what you just said, aren't you astounded because you're an expert in this field, that in this field someone, and I've raised this question before because I've been doing talk shows for a long time, I've raised this question before with colleagues of yours, and the answer has been basically the same. This is 2007, 2008, and there's nothing definitive?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it's eating behavior and body weight is really complex. You know, it's a combination of psychology and biology and economics and all these things. And so even though there's some really simple fundamental questions, trying to figure them out is a problem.
With Dr. Barbara Rolls, our guest, the co-author of the Volumetrics Weight Control Plan, and also at Penn State University, Nutrition, Hunger, and Obesity. Our number on the Baum Show, 1-888-463-6748. Let me give you a supposition. Again, it might be a generalization. Men are more dependent on fitness, and the reason they're more dependent on fitness is employment. people will generally hire somebody who might be a little overweight but certainly isn't gross. So therefore, can you make the supposition that men are more dependent on fitness for employment because, frankly, you don't see any fat landscapers out there?
Well, gosh, that could be some of it, but we women are moving into just about everything now. So I think if that is the case, maybe we should start doing some longitudinal studies and see what happens. You know, a lot of what's happened in our society is that we all eat as if we're lumberjacks, and of course we're mostly sitting at our desks nowadays. So I mean, you're right. The change in physical activity is a huge issue. We are not accommodating that, and I mean, our bodies are designed to balance calories in and calories out when we're physically active, not when we're sitting at our desks. The whole system is designed to work that way. So increasing physical activity is absolutely key for weight management. It shows that you've made a commitment, but it also helps to regulate all the systems that are doing what they need to do to keep your weight at the right level.
With Dr. Barbara Rolls on the Dave Baum Show, when we return after a short break, some astounding measurement of muscle versus fat and calories burned. If you tried in the past to run around with one of those little guides, joined a weight reduction program, and they gave you one of those guides, it was almost like a slide rule, a small version of a slide rule you stuck in your pocket years ago. You don't need that because the figures pertaining to muscle equaling calories burned and fat equaling calories burned is something we'll take up with Dr. Rolls when we return, and the numbers are astounding.